right now I'm really interested in showing the human impact too, right? Like as long as I can and as long as people will let me, I don't have to touch anyone to take photos. I'm really seeking out those positive stories, ways people are helping each other, anything that could bring a little joy to somebody or showing how other people are finding the joy in this weird situation. That's what I'm really interested in doing right now too.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Small Business Storytellers. This podcast is for you if you see business as a tool for making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, I'll be your host, and one of my biggest passions is learning from businesses who are growing without losing their authenticity. On season two, we're learning about how to thrive in times of crisis as we learn from businesses who have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Let's dive in.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode. If you're new here, my name is Seth Silvers and this is the Small Business Storytellers podcast. And this is season number two, where we're diving into the stories of businesses and how they are being impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. And so today we are sitting with somebody who, her and I have rubbed shoulders over the last couple of years and kind of been colleagues from afar in the marketing space, and that's Valerie Mosley. So Valerie, thank you so much for joining today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. And in this season, I think it's really important that we share our stories, more important than ever, because in times of crisis, I feel like everything rises to the top. Like if you're a scumbag, it's going to be known in a time of crisis and you're going to lose it. And if you're an authentic, kind person and in business, if you do really good work and valuable work, it's going to rise to the top. And so this is why we're sharing these stories. And you'll notice that some of these stories are bigger companies that are being impacted. And today we're talking about somebody, Valerie, who's, you're doing freelance photojournalism work and it's still impacting your freelance business. And I think it's good to know, to see the breadth of people that this is impacting. So with that being said, share with our audience, who are you, and give us some context for what you do, Valerie.
Yeah, thank you. So I am a freelance photojournalist, and I also work with businesses, nonprofits, and families, primarily doing documentary work. That's not always what businesses want or need, so it's not my only thing that I do, but I was on staff at newspapers for 7 years. I found photojournalism kind of late. Like I went to grad school to pursue it. And then I worked for newspapers for 7 years on staff and I loved it. It was like the perfect job for me. Just, doing something different every day and meeting the variety of people and just figuring out creative ways to make good pictures in any situation. And also just I had a real sense of purpose doing that work. And for me, when, you know, it's not a great time to work in journalism anymore. So I left to pursue my own business. And I really am still committed to visual storytelling is what I feel like encompasses the range of what I do.
So what are you doing? How does that, what does most of your work look like today?
Yeah, it's a real mix of things. So I do freelance photojournalism for a few publications. I do documentary family photography, which is just documenting families doing an activity together instead of a traditional portrait session. And for businesses, it can be whatever they need, you know, and newspapers are always taking pictures of businesses. So I did a lot of that. And that work still translates to branding photos or, just businesses in action. People really love behind the scenes photos. So that kind of stuff. And then I also do nonprofit work, which is great because I've been able to work with some nonprofits that kind of let me do long-term stories where I follow one of their clients for a couple months or so and really get a sense of what their life is like and how the organization helps them. So that's some of my favorite work too.
Yeah. So how would you describe the difference between photojournalism and hiring a photographer to go take pictures?
Well, photojournalism is all about finding ways to show the story, right? So there's a lot of thought beforehand, not that there's not in a regular photo session, but you know, if you're, you have to think about like what you're trying to portray and the best way to do that. You know, is it a wide shot with a lot of context in the background, or is it like a close up of emotion on the face? It's really just the story. And that's what I try to bring to all of my work, whether it's for a publication or another type of client.
Right. And so you're kind of in this interesting position to where, you know, you have your own company, but you're a contractor for a handful of different people and stuff. And so with everything that's going on right now with the coronavirus pandemic, how are you seeing it affect you and other freelancers?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about other freelancers, but for myself, I immediately lost some work because of event cancellations and businesses being closed, and then freaked out a little bit and then got really motivated to try to put myself out there in different ways that, you know, I had been thinking about and not doing for a long time. So I'm starting an email newsletter finally. I have an offer for 1 hour documentary family sessions. That's shorter than my typical 2 hour session. But I thought it would be a good time if families are spending more time together that maybe they would like this weird time together documented, how they're making the most of it. You know,
do they have reservations with like kind of the, at the moment of this recording with kind of quarantining and stuff? Like, are people reserved to having a photographer come and?
Well, the few people that I have photographed since all this started, I've known pretty well. So I don't know. That is a concern, you know, like I don't want to put myself out there in a tone deaf way. I'm trying to take every precaution I can, of course, and I'm not going out unless I'm trying to earn a living. I'm cleaning my camera with alcohol and everything every time I get back and before I go out. I don't know. I mean, it's such an uncertain situation and everything's changing so fast. I don't really know how people feel or how they're gonna feel later, which also makes me feel like I've got to do everything I can now because maybe all the work's gonna dry up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
really interesting to think about, you know, a lot of the services that require human interaction.
Yeah.
And a lot of contract positions, creative positions. Like I've talked to a photographer earlier this week, not on the podcast, but he, you know, they had lost about $70,000 of contracts that from the next couple months that have been canceled and stuff. So like huge impact, but I mean, it requires, you know, you to either travel somewhere or to be at an event and different things. I mean, you think about the typical like wedding and, all of the different vendors like weddings, you know, it's probably not uncommon for you to be dealing with five or six different vendors that as soon as you postpone or cancel a wedding, that's five or six different businesses that just had canceled revenue that they planned on, forecasted with, hired based off of that revenue. And so it's like, what do you do now? So
it's interesting
to see how it's impacting things.
Yeah. In big and small ways. Yeah. I think everybody's impacted somehow. And that's the other thing. Right now I'm really interested in showing the human impact too, right? Like yeah. as long as I can and as long as people will let me, I don't have to touch anyone to take photos right. and I can do it from a safe distance. But so I'm also asking people to share good news stories in Northern Colorado, because I really, like, for me, like, I can't pay attention to the news too much, or like I'm depressed. So I'm really seeking out those positive stories, ways people are helping each other, anything that could bring a little joy to somebody or showing how other people are finding the joy in this weird situation. That's what I'm really interested in doing right now too. Right. And so I don't know.
Are you doing any of this photo, you know, this kind of like documentary style photography to actually document kind of the social situation that we're in right now? And if so, like, tell us a little bit about that. Cause it is, I mean, it's a social time, like nobody in our lifetime has ever experienced anything like this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it feels really important to document. Right. So yeah, I mean, I'm mainly just taking my camera anywhere I go, if I'm on a walk or anything, and I'm taking, you know, just pictures of people at the park. The other day when it snowed, there were some CSU students out skiing at City Park. They had a little rail set up. And so I spent some time just photographing them there. Because again, like, that seemed like, you know, a way people were finding joy. You know, and a lot of them were seniors that are supposed to graduate in May. And right. I don't know if they knew at that time that graduations were postponed till December. They were like, what are we doing? You know, but we're going to ski in the meantime.
Right.
I took a photo the night that Polis announced the restaurants would be carry out and delivery only at Starbucks in Old Town. They had already like moved all the tables to the corner to, you know, signal to people you can't right. stay here. And it was so eerie, you know. Mm. It was like right around dusk, and it just felt so weird down there, you know. And I talked to one of the baristas about like how we never thought we'd live through a zombie apocalypse, you know. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what photos I can take. Tomorrow I'm gonna photograph a mom homeschooling for the first time.
That's so amazing. Yeah,
I know. I'm really interested in how families are dealing. I don't have kids, you know. If I did, I would be documenting my own family. Mm-hmm. But I really like I keep telling people the shot that I really want is like the parents working from home with the kids going nuts in the background, which I'm sure is happening everywhere, but it's a hard thing to get to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw, I mean, it's been, social media has been funny in this situation. Like, I mean, it's made many things worse, but it's also like brought in a lot of light to different situations. And there's of course been unlimited memes and jokes and stuff. And I saw some parent that they posted that, you know, like first day, or I think it was like 2 hours into homeschooling, and one kid is suspended for skipping class and the other's expelled. And it's like a funny joke, but you just think about the social dynamics. And it'll be interesting to see how people and how families, you know, once things are back to whatever normal ends up being, right. how they look back on this season of, for a lot of people, all being under the same roof and having to get things done and stuff. So I think that's awesome that you're documenting.
I'm trying. Yeah. Well, and also like, I feel like people think that their daily lives are really boring and that there's nothing to photograph there. But you know, there are always moments happen throughout the day. And I think when you have a good photo of something you're doing or some moment or emotion, those are the kinds of pictures and the memories that you want. It doesn't matter that you were just like sitting at home playing a game. Mm-hmm. It was a real true moment with your family, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you think back, like I would love to have a photo of like me and my four siblings and my parents all playing a game when I was five or something. Like, that'd be so cool to be able to have that. But you don't really think about it in the moment of like, oh, this is a moment we should capture.
Right.
So with what does moving forward look like for you? You know, obviously this is having a big impact on you know, events being canceled and different things, and you're already kind of hinting at, you know, innovating and trying to do different things and stuff. But what are you thinking about as far as how to just move forward in a season like this?
Yeah, I haven't really thought that far ahead, really. I mean, I'm just trying to work hard every day to be productive and figure out how I'm getting through the day or the week, you know? So I don't know. I mean, how long is this going to drag on? And what, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, if I can turn more towards journalism right now, because that's not stopping, that's probably my best bet. But I don't know. I'm as confused as everybody else.
What would your, do you kind of have any, just words of encouragement or advice? Because there's a lot of other people in your position as freelancers that, like, contracts are stopped and they might not have a plan. Like, some people are building plans right now and some people are not, and it doesn't necessarily make you right or wrong. It's just some people, they're like, I do not know what the next few months look like as a freelancer. What would your kind of any advice or encouragement be to other people in this position?
I mean, I think, gosh, I feel so unqualified to give advice. what I'm doing for myself is trying to focus on the positive, like I said, and like, not just in like what I'm trying to do to stay busy, but in my own life, right? So I am meditating every morning, trying not to consume too much news that overwhelms me, you know. And also, luckily, I started working with a marketing coach maybe a month ago, and she's been really great. So I guess maybe, you know, if you can find someone to help in that way, that's helped me a lot. Just to have her as a sounding board and to keep me motivated, you know?
Right. Yeah. Who are you working with, if you don't mind me asking?
Melissa Kellogg-Lewick. Do you know her? Avanti Creative.
Name rings a bell. So I know the name, but I don't know her personally, but yeah, I think that's huge to have somebody you can bounce ideas off of. And
yeah, I mean, I've needed a marketing coach for a while. It was pretty good timing that we had already started working together, because I really need her now.
The thing that's interesting about your position, Valerie, is that there's so many stories that to be told right now, like the unprecedented nature of the time that we're in and stuff. And so, I mean, I think that I think there's a lot of people that they know that this season is unique. And even though there's a lot of families that, you know, I don't want to pretend like every family is healthy and that this is going to be great quality family time for others. Like, there's nonprofits in town that are in articles that are pointing towards, like, there's also probably going to be an increase of, you know, potentially domestic abuse in situations, because, you know, again, crisis brings out the positive and the negative and stuff. And so I think that in this time, there's stories to be told, and there are going to be people that recognize and see, you know, this is a really unique time for our family, and we want somebody to come in and document that and stuff. So I think that's an amazing approach. And I would bet there's a lot of people in Northern Colorado that if they'd be willing to let a photographer in their home, that it would be really interesting just to see, like, some of the, you know, just to actually document what is going on, because this time is just so unprecedented, and it's important that there is documentation of that. My office is in downtown and it's a private office, and so I'm pretty much, you know, I've still been working from here because I can pretty much control everything as far as safety goes. But it's shocking. I walked out of my office yesterday into downtown, and I was talking on the phone to my wife, and I told her, I said, I literally cannot see a car. Like there wasn't a car parked anywhere. I couldn't see at that moment. I couldn't see one driving, and I could see three or four different cross streets where I was standing. And it was like, I don't think I've ever been in the middle of our town where I actually cannot see a car and stuff. So
I saw somebody flying. That would be weird. That's a great shot that I keep trying to get, but I guess I've seen more cars down there than I expected. Yeah, so.
It was probably like 7:30 at night.
Yeah.
So it was evening time, but I saw somebody flying a drone around today. And I was like, man, it's probably interesting to see like a empty downtown and stuff. But
yeah.
I think it's going to be really cool. Like a couple months down the road, once hopefully we're on the other side of this, it's going to be really neat to see some of the photos and some of the stories that you've been able to capture just because this time is so unique.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I'm just going to keep trying to do my best to get everything I can. I'm actually part of this, maybe a collective called Women Photograph. That's photojournalists around the world. And they have really kind of led the charge to document everything and are going to compile some of our photos for, I don't know, future projects. I'm not sure how far out, but that's kind of exciting to be part of too. You know, it's not just me, but it's a lot of us that are really trying to, you know, preserve this weirdness for history, I guess.
Right. Valerie, what's the vision that you're like fighting for or moving towards, or what's kind of like the dream for kind of where this photojournalism and kind of photo documentation is taking you?
You know, I don't really have any big dreams with it. If I can just continue to do it and support myself, then that's enough for me right now. I would, like I mentioned, the nonprofit work, I really love doing that. And if I could move more in that direction, I think it would be good. There are a lot of photographers that work with NGOs overseas and travel to do that. I think, I love the idea of travel, and I think that's attractive to a lot of photographers, but there are so many stories in our own backyard right here to be told. And so if I can find and tell those, then that's as fulfilling to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned meditation, you know, kind of as we bring this conversation to a close, I'd love to know what else has just been helpful for you in this season?
Talking with friends. I mean, all the usual stuff, right? So I've done like more video chatting in the last week than I've done in a long time, with my family in Oklahoma and just my friends, a colleague that I worked with in Missouri for years. We hadn't really talked in a while. That helps a lot. And I've been taking long walks. And really just having a sense of purpose to document things, I think, has helped me more than I expected it would. You know, it's weird to be doing it on my own and not have like, you know, if you're a staff photographer, that's a different thing. Like, of course you have to be out there and doing the stuff, but like, I feel like I need to be doing that even though it's just me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate that. And I think that there's so many little things that we can be doing to help through this situation. And, you know, we haven't historically on this podcast, we haven't had that many solopreneurs or freelancers. But I think this is a really important story to tell because, there are so many people that are in your position where, you know, it might not be a big company or even a small company with employees or different contractors and, you know, 12-month goals and different things. But it's important to tell the stories that exist. And I think that there are so many freelancers and contractors that are still going to be hit really hard and are being hit really hard by this situation and stuff. And the whole goal of season two of this podcast is let's get stories out there so people know that they're not alone, because when we know that we're not alone, we're more likely to reach out and ask for help from other people, ask for support, to get together with people and stuff. So I think although your story is different than others that we've told on this podcast, I think it's a really important story to tell. So I appreciate you jumping on this call today and being willing to just kind of share your story. In closing, most people listening to this podcast are business owners or you know, entrepreneurs, marketers. They're starting something or building something. What would just, in your experience, what would some of your advice to other business owners or marketers or kind of entrepreneurs be? Just any kind of nuggets that you've learned in your journey?
I mean, the main one that I keep coming back to is just keep going, you know? Like, there's a lot of times where, like, it just seems like it would be so much easier to get a job or do something else, but the people that succeed are the ones that don't give up. So that's kind of what I'm telling myself. I hope it's true and right, but that's, you know, I mean, things have, you know, I'm only 3 years in, right? Like, they say it takes 3 to 5 years to build a business, right? So yeah, I mean, again, I don't really feel qualified to give any advice because I'm just out here trying to figure it out too. But, you know, here's one thing, especially here in Fort Collins, there is so much support. There are so many groups that you can get involved with for small business owners, entrepreneurs, whatever. And so, yeah, just having a good community of people around you is hugely important. And I probably would have given up a long time ago if I didn't have a lot of those people in my life.
Yeah. And most communities have that. And if your community doesn't, create it, get people together. Right. It doesn't have to be some big formal thing through the chamber or through networking. Mm-hmm. Like, just get people together to know that you're not alone and stuff. So Valerie, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find your work and see some of your work?
Probably the best place is Instagram. That's my best social media that I try to keep current. So Instagram, I'm at Val Mosley. It's VALMOSLEY. I'm also on Facebook, but my Instagram has links to all the other stuff. So,
okay, wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to jump on the podcast. And we truly do hope for the best for the next few months, and don't stop telling the stories that you are, because they need to be told.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm really glad that you're telling these stories. I think we have a similar drive to share stories just in different ways. So thank you. Because it does, I'm looking forward to hearing your other podcasts and feeling less alone in this.
You certainly are not alone. That's for sure. So, all right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Hope you have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too.
Do you want to grow an online brand that is profitable and authentic? Do you know that you have a ton of great ideas for content that you want to create, but you need accountability and strategy? Do you want to grow online, but online marketing just seems overwhelming? If your answer is yes to any of these questions, then I want to personally invite you to join our private marketing community, successwithstories.com. Success with Stories is the premier community for purpose-driven businesses committed to growing online by marketing with stories. Inside of successwithstories.com, you will learn how to create online content that converts, how to build a connection with your audience that outlasts any crisis, and most importantly, you're going to learn how to grow your business in a way that feels authentic to you. Honestly, right now in 2020, things are a bit crazy and unpredictable for all businesses. And so we think it's really important to show you how you can build a crisis-proof online brand. Head to www.successwithstories.com to join Success with Stories. Don't wait another day. We'll see you inside of Success with Stories.